It's Tales from the Jungle Cruise time. I don't really have a theme song, so welcome to the Chris Stravaganza episode of Tales from the Jungle Cruise. So if there were two guys in my days at the Jungle Cruise that I was known to hang out with, it's these guys, Skippers Chris Hames and Chris Ramirez. So I thought it was time to sit down with actual friends of mine and chat about our time at the Jungle. Skipcast is on Twitter now. Yay, Twitter. Well, I'm on Twitter. And you can find me at Skipcast, S-K-I-P-C-A-S-T. Also, if you're enjoying these podcasts through iTunes, we would genuinely appreciate any commentary you want to make there. We're currently in the low part of the top 25 of all Disney podcasts, and I want to climb that ladder. I want to be king of the mountain. This is part one of either two or three, depending on how those edits go together, of the Chris Stravaganza. Thanks again for all the support, folks. 1,100 downloads later, we're hopefully doing something right. And here we go, Tales from the Jungle Cruise, Episode 6.
Twitter. What was there a
no? It was just it was just that, you know, I get these random women following me on Twitter, and it's like the old MySpace days where
I get random women following me in general, but that's just it's a little different that way.
And see, we should be doing this for the podcast.
Well, yeah, the recording is on, Chris. Okay. So welcome everyone to the Chris Stravaganza Tales from the Jungle Cruise.
Plagiarizer.
Plagiarizer. Well, Chris Tastic. There are so many things that we can do. So, welcome to Tales from the Jungle Cruise, episode whenever the heck this goes up. 6, I think this is. Probably 6, 7, and possibly 8, depending on how much I have to edit it to stretch for time.
Kyle, can I just, really, to tell you the truth, can I just tell you how excited I am to be sitting in a random person's apartment, talking into a microphone to a podcast that 1,000 people listen to?
Three and a third listeners is what I like to call it.
33 1/3 is the next step.
It is, but that's slower than a 45.
And then 78s, yeah.
I'm
whoever's gonna get that is
no. Woo! Vital jokes. That's
a stretch.
How long we got it. And we are the cutting edge of comedy here, folks.
The needle is skipping. So welcome everyone. So for those of you who didn't work at Jungle in 2002, 2003 and possibly 04. My people I'm sitting down with today are Skipper Chris and Skipper Chris. Chris Hames, Chris Ramirez. For legal reasons, you guys are already persona non gratis with the mouse, so we can use your names.
That is true.
We are of the select few who will never work. Although, I did go back for a brief stint in 2007 in hotels.
And in a fit of desperation, I did reapply. But that didn't work out so well.
There's a definite class of people who are not.
Well, and, you know, but that's
it's called welcome back to the party.
So with everyone we've sat down with before, it actually is one of the first questions we asked was, "How's your rehire status?" Because really, for ex skippers, there's two kinds of skippers. There's skippers who go out in a blaze of glory, and there's skippers who just kind of stay for a while
and then stare at a girl's tits, and get walked out.
Well, that was at Indy. let's be honest.
Okay.
That was at Indy.
That was on the Bastard Stepchild.
Yeah, the Bastard Stepchild. Although at that point, most of the Jungle Cruise cast members had taken over Indy and had proceeded to molest people's elbows in two separate locations in the park.
That's true.
So it was very, the counts went up at Indy once we all took over, but.
Yeah, we did shove people through there, and we did touch people inappropriately, as we do on the Jungle Cruise.
Hi, how many know you can't have the front? Please, right this way! Thank you.
And then I brought my Autopia bit up there, and I started riding the jeeps in, just to impress the ladies. But generally, what didn't we do to impress the ladies?
And look at how well...
Date separate people is barely what we didn't do.
And look at how well that all worked out for all of us.
Yeah, we just got old.
So, yeah, Jungle is... I think there is nowhere in the park that adheres by the don't date Disney rule.
True.
I think that that is, it's a very, shall we say, a slippery slope. But yeah, it just doesn't work out well. Because it is like college. I mean, everyone has to date each other, and because you're in confined quarters.
Alcohol flows like water.
Yes.
which and I don't know.
Well, after hours.
And really, on that, I don't know if you've talked about it yet. The infamy of the Tri-Skipper House.
We can talk about Tri-Skip, and we can talk about the luaus. Those are always amusing. There was, I mean, that was 2004, 2003.
Oh, no, that was...
it went way back.
The Lua, the Tri-Skipper House goes back, I think, to 2002.
Oh, yeah, because that's
2002 and 2003, yeah. That's when, yeah. And the luaus go back, I think, just, if not, probably just about just as far as...
And it is, I mean, it's funny. It's been the 2 or 3 weeks since I last taped, and it's like, oh, let's see, we have almost a new iPhone. We have Steve, and we go from, you know, our economy, we're bitching about jobs to not having them, to not bitching about not having Steve Jobs. You know, that went away very quickly. But, you know, I mean, it's amazing how quickly time passes when you're, you know, randomly digesting the news.
That's true.
So, I know I was, you guys were both there when I got there in 2002.
Correct.
End of start of 2003.
Yeah.
At Jungle, and I'd already been over on the DCA side. So let's recap. Let's
how
let's
about
tell
a map
our...
to your house, Drew Carey?
So let's recap the how did
that
you
that was his sad life, not ours, by the way.
And he split himself into two organisms. That's my theory. Is he's gotten so thin because he actually split himself and like an amoeba, and now half of him works at Price is Right, and the other half
is
working as Orville Redenbacher's stand-in in those digital ads.
I was going to say the other half just attached himself to Oprah or Roseanne, either way.
Or
ladies and gentlemen, Chris Hibbs with the Roseanne Barr joke.
Hey, back to 1984.
You know, and then, of course, speaking of the back to the... Back to the Future. Oh, yeah. Since the last podcast, we have ridiculously expensive shoes that have come out.
That don't actually do what they did
they
in
don't,
the
They don't self-lace.
They light up, and they did that in the 90s. Thank you very much. Any LA... What were they called?
LA Lights.
LA Lights.
LA Lights, yeah. That was pretty self-explanatory.
That was 20 years worth of memories.
We can go to LA Story. We can go to Little Steam Room. No, it's great to have, you know, us three amigos back together. And Chris, you're Chevy Chase. Chris Hames, Chevy Chase, Chris Ramirez, Martin Short. I'm going Steve Martin. You can be El Guapo as well if you want to. That's
Why is that movie not held up?
By the way, why is that movie not in the lexicon of awesome?
Tres Amigos?
Oh, it is. If you're a real comedy fan, you're a real film fan.
Yeah, it is a true comedy.
There are certain people that know,
and it's a true film. So we've narrowed it down to that. It's
a true film, and that's why no one watches it because, well, people don't appreciate true comedy anymore.
Speaking of the Jungle Cruise,
no, we get off of that subject on a regular basis. So, but yeah, so how did you guys come to work for the giant black rodent?
I mean, you want
to? No. Age before beauty, sir.
Wow, that's just not something called. I've been called old and Mexican today.
Which is funny because how often does the second one actually happen?
I mean, really, because that's. I mean, I am the world's worst Mexican. Let's all be honest. 100%. So it's kind of an honor, and I thank you.
¿Dónde está la montaña de espacio?
I'm sorry. je ne parle la français. that was French.
You can work at that.
Hello, ladies.
You can work at that Disney World in France.
Is it Disney World in France? Oh,
it's small.
Disney World in France.
It's smaller, much like other things in France.
Smaller, angrier, and just a little better that it keeps losing wars.
Ah,
yeah. But, you know, they do have, I think, one of the top three Disneyland attractions ever in the Crush coaster, the Crush from from Finding Nemo. That coaster, it basically, and I'll bore everyone with my encyclopedic knowledge of theme park rides. Basically, it's they took the dinosaur coaster thing at Walt Disney World, where you have two seats facing forward, two seats facing backwards, and it goes through the coaster, and then you get to the Great Atlantic Current, the Northern I suck at Pixar movies. And it basically...
The GAC!
GAC. So it starts rotating on the center axis as it goes down the giant spiral.
Primeval world!
Yeah, they call that the primeval world.
Except it goes through a tunnel.
The world's worst
roller coaster. It's all right.
It's right next door to Pirates, and when I was standing there, looking at this thing, being like, okay, it's a little roller coaster, it looks kind of cool, and the line is an hour and a half. Next.
Ding!
Yeah.
So, and more things that have happened since the last Disney theme podcast that I do. Avatar World has been announced.
Oh God, why?
Yeah, but the good news is it may replace Dinosaur Countdown to Extinction.
No, okay. It was Countdown to extinction, and then it was
Dinosaur,
a movie which I think fewer people that listen to this podcast saw.
Based on
entirely that? Possible, but Disney can still give me the $12 million budget for that return.
Well, I remember slightly short after I was at Jungle for a while, I decided I wanted to go to sunnier pastures, sunnier skies, greener pastures. As I was actually wound up at the old version of Interventions, which at that time sucked a little bit less, I think, than it does today, and so. Not a whole lot less, but at least there was actual stuff to do. So I think when I went over there, we had a one interactive show that had something to do with the CGI at Dinosaur, and it was the script was terrible. And
when was this? 1972?
No, I mean this was like 2001. This is before I even went to Tomorrowland. It was. Which it was then replaced by this slightly more interactive show that had to do with the 102 Dalmatians or something. It was,
But not as good as the Stitch talking.
No, oh, see, that, really, really yeah, show. That yeah. was, I was gone. They put that in after I had gone back. I spent 6 months trying to get into Interventions after I had been turned down for a leadership role at the Indiana Jones Adventure. And so I retaliated by spending 6 months trying to get into Interventions and another 4 months trying to get back out.
All right.
It did, yeah.
Wow.
Let's raise our hands if we were applied for lead or trainer and were turned down.
I never two hands. Did.
I don't
yeah.
think
yes. Yeah.
yeah no. You already had the low expectations.
I didn't care about the managers enough to respect them, so unfortunately they didn't respect me in return.
And that's welcome to True Tales from Adventureland.
And that's the way it was.
Walt Disney.
That's Chris Hames guy. He breaks the boats.
You had more broken drive cables than anyone I've ever seen. You'd be like, which boat is Chris on? It doesn't matter.
So for anybody who doesn't know, or anybody who wasn't there, there was a Russian immigrant maintenance guy by the name of Don.
Seriously, the best guy ever.
And he was a great guy. But he had this thing out for Chris Hames because
I was ham-fisted, all right?
He was the throttle cable, you know, the way that the Jungle Cruise works is that the throttle and the cable goes back to the engine and you know and it works like that.
You need a cricket.
Wait, the skippers actually control the boats? You mean it's not
They do.
Not fully automated yet?
No.
It is not fully safe yet, according to little snowflakes and their parents.
So, Dawn... So
if you leaned... The trick was, if you leaned hard enough on the throttle... And at that time, this was before the Thunder accident, and this is when we knew that their maintenance practices were less than...
Substandard.
Yes, were less than... what they should have been, and they were buying really just cheap throttle cables, and so they would snap inadvertently, and this was a huge problem, and so of course we figured out that if you lean hard enough on the throttle cable, you could get it to snap and cause a downtime, a three shot, and so Don, we had broken yet another throttle cable, and Don comes out, and in his Russian accent, ask who was in the boat, and of course the answer was Chris Hames, and his response was to pause and look up and repeat after me, "I don't like that guy Chris, he likes to break the boats."
Wasn't that I liked it, it's just that every single boat had They didn't have a standard set for how they adjusted the throttle. So everything was either tight or loose. And if it was tight, you'd think you were getting into a loose boat, and you'd just shove the throttle cable like you would in a normal boat, and it would bounce back. And at the end of the day of doing that, the bolts would fail or something, and you'd be just sitting there, and your engine would rev all the way up, and you'd have to kill it. That was it. Then you'd have to sit there staring at 40 people while they realize that, oh, this isn't part of the ride. You're actually looking at us like we're food. I was fat then, and I got hungry quick.
I like it when you left the park, you lost weight, so you quit feasting upon the souls of the children, apparently.
That is true.
Basically, it was alive the home game.
Well, no, I stopped eating at all of the task cafeterias is what did it.
Although I did, the thing I miss for a while at the in-between, they had the Dole Whip at the at the in-between with a machine that had vanilla soft serve on the other side.
Swirl it up.
So we actually could have the treat that the guests couldn't, which was the vanilla. And although I think that they did have it at one point, they actually had the swirl.
I might have, yeah.
It's such an amorphous blob, that pineapple stand.
Yeah. So on the
delicious amorphous.
So on the other positive note, since the last podcast, a very exciting change has been announced in Orlando. Under new management is under old management, and
yes,
they're going back to the original Tiki Room.
No one has to listen to Iago.
So that helps. So as before we start getting into some of the other jungle stories that don't involve petty larceny and not intentionally breaking the boats,
I never did it intentionally.
I will say that the three of us, there's a good font of Disney attraction and park knowledge between the three of us.
That's font with an AU, children. Learn how to spell before you text.
This crotchety old man public service announcement has been brought to you by Chris Hayes.
Yes, I'm a bitter old man already, and I'm 29.
The more you know. All right, so I actually have a couple of trivia questions for you guys, and the winner, there are three questions, and I'll see if you guys can score well on this. So here's a little trivia: which of the four following things was not a shop on Main Street during Disney's early years? Was it the Hammond Organ Showcase, the Wizard of Bras, the Pepperidge Farm Showcase, or the Main Street Tobacconist?
The first one.
No, that would be the Pepperidge Farm Showcase was not.
Was not Chris. You was not, Chris Ramirez gets a point. Although Pepperidge Farms was around when Disneyland opened, but I was always impressed with the fact that there was a tobacconist there, even through the 90s.
Well,
that's
what the Indian was for. The Indian was the tobacconist.
Yeah, it was the.
Because he had the cigar in his hand, and they took that out when they took the store out.
And then you know the part on Main Street with the rail with the seats on it that always drove everyone nuts working guest control. That was where the Wizard of Bras was.
Yeah.
Yes.
They had the mannequins out in the porch. Yeah.
Because undergarments. When I think Disneyland, I think undergarments, and you know if that had continued, you really think that they would have done some themed undergarments.
Undergarments with the MGM franchise ripoff too.
Yeah. Mickey Mouse corsetry. I just see that this was a
somewhere. Know. There's a Disney marketing executive who's listening to this, whose ears just perked up.
Okay, speaking of Disney marketing, I'll plug this real quick. But did you guys see the new iPod Nano things? The one that they make into a watch because it's conveniently sized. They've come out with new watch faces, and the Mickey and Minnie faces on the watch are two of the faces, and they look really good.
Yeah. That's very cool.
Yeah.
All right. So number two. At Captain Hook's Pirate Ship Restaurant, which used to live back in the land where Dumbo is now.
The part that smells like an exploded dolphin.
Yes. You know, the tuna doesn't taste as good since it became dolphin safe. There was something missing out of that entire...
I like my food to be intelligent.
So which of these following things were not served at the Pirate Ship Restaurant? Tuna sandwiches, tuna burger, tuna pies, or tuna sashimi?
Tuna sashimi was not served there.
Chris Hames, you are correct.
Nobody, well, we were still so close to World War II, anything Japanese was still taboo.
But it's an interesting question regarding what exactly is in a tuna pie. I think that's just a question
that's,
I don't...
That's, I think, a loaded question for another podcast.
Welcome.
Already has the explicit label on it, right?
Welcome to Sexy Skipper Talk with Chris and Chris. So, you know, the other... I was...
Let's be honest, anybody could see the three of us sitting here.
Yeah, one of us would have to be
sexy.
There's
nothing
sexy
about the skipper talk.
Yeah. I've been told my voice is good, though. Maybe you guys can tell me in the comments.
Yeah, here's the irony of Disney's Peter Pan and the Peter Pan, you know, story from J.M. Barrie.
How ironic is it that a guy whose name last name was Hook would have a debilitating accident that required a prosthesis later in his life?
I think he changed his name.
No, that's... Really?
I don't know.
Okay. So our third question...
Trying to make it a good joke.
Third question is actually a tiebreaker, because I was expecting that
that's right,
one you guys one. Would be so clever.
Yes.
From 1957 to 1966, there was an attraction called Midget Autopia, which apparently...
Vern Troyer.
Yeah, I was going to go that only only little people could ride the cars as a Americans with Disabilities Act. What attraction replaced that attraction? With what's in the geography that was Midget Autopia?
Motorboat ride.
The motorboat cruise.
You were both incorrect. That's Fantasia Gardens.
Okay.
I'll give one more time. Tiebreaker.
Yeah, the Midget Autopia.
Another hint. Closed in 66.
I used to know. Matterhorn.
No, Matterhorn was around before.
Damn it. Midget
last guess.
Was it the
New York World Fair?
Flying saucers?
Oh god, no. Now I know.
Yep,
small world.
It's a small world, so
dang it.
You're one for one tied, and I will just call you both a loser.
Well, I didn't think it was that far north in the park. I was gonna say the Chip and Dale Autopia, but that came after that second Autopia went in there that then left.
The really weird one is I didn't realize that the boats were in there so late. That they apparently like mid 90s was when the boats came out.
Really?
Yeah, the Gummy Bears.
The Gummy Bears.
Disney Afternoon Gummy Bears. I remember riding that with my dad.
Yep.
I do.
Which so, was, I think, was preceded by the Dick Tracy.
Oh,
it was Dick Tracy back when they used to.
They had the gangster shootout.
Yeah, they used to do actual shows, and good shows, not
but nowadays,
Mickey's Halloween.
Back in the fantasy land stage.
Yeah. Princess fantasy.
Not the princess fantasy come and buy me attraction.
Yeah. Come and buy me presents and crowns.
You know, I remember when I went, I was like seven, when I my first Disney trip, and the Osmonds were performing at the Fantasyland stage of Videopolis.
Yeah.
Oh, so, I mean, yeah.
Videopolis, that's right.
So way back with its thousand screens.
See, but back then, also, kids were also very, very happy with... cardboard 2D cutouts of the characters from their TV shows, and nowadays I think people would want them in like big statues, but things were cheaper, I think, back then too.
They were, and you know, the other thing that I've noticed, I mean, because I moved down to California from the beautiful state of Washington in 97.
Beautiful, cold, and hairy.
It's
right. Yeah.
Yes, there are a lot of there's a lot of unshaven women up
I'm
there.
Sorry, Washington, but that is my opinion.
Yeah,
at
there are beards. It's like the dwarven kingdoms where both men and women have the beards that are braided and
and the sheep are scared.
Yeah.
By the way, Kyle brings up dwarven kingdoms. He's got a girlfriend. I haven't mentioned anything nearly as nerdy, and I'm single. So.
Well. The night is still young, sir.
But, you know, it was one of the things you guys being more from the California side, the one thing I will say is that the repair of the park has gotten so much significantly better since then. Because I remember, you know, the painting on the monorail legs weren't, not legs, the stands for the rail weren't painted.
Pylons.
And then, you know, we had the debacle that was, rails, the things that the monorails were on. Debacle. I remember rocket rods, okay? If there's an attraction that could be called a debacle, that's...
I remember.
A debacle.
Thank you.
First time going back
it's
to...
It's French, early. Chris. French. That's
there's
what
a lot,
debacle is.
There's a lot of French things I like. Steak.
Hairy woman.
Oh, yeah, that one too.
Hairy woman. Well, not a hairy woman kind of conversation.
It is going that way right now. But the French know how to groom their hair. It's not rampant and wild like the Pacific Northwest.
Well, it's the Bigfoot DNA that's...
I think so.
It's actually all those damn people coming across the border and stealing our jobs. You know the Canadians?
Yeah.
So...
Gotta say A. Every time someone says Canadian. A. Oh, yeah, and this brings up a point. If they're Canadians, they're from Canada.
Yes.
Right? Because Americans are from America, so Canada would have Canadians that live in it. So we should all change that right now. Canadians.
Oh, the hockey team is the Canadiens.
Or they could be from Canadians.
But they're from Montreal.
And you would
so.
Think if it was Canadiens, it would be an all-women team.
Canadiens with an E? Well, they could
Wouldn't that be the Canadiens?
I think Canadiens sounds Anne? More feminine.
Like a
feminine. Because Anne is a girl's name.
Anne is a girl's name. Girl's name. Yeah. Way to go.
Okay.
Canadiens.
Swing and a miss.
Let's move on.
But no, I mean, I will say this. They have taken all of their extra revenue that they've gotten from not having an off season, and hardly having, you know, late opens or early closes or any of those things. To really, the park is in, I think it's in as good of a shape now as it ever has been.
I am impressed. Cynthia Jeffries was not so good for doing that bit to the park then. That is
Cynthia Harris, you mean?
Right, that was yes. Her name. I forgot her name the other day, too.
Yeah.
I forgot her first name the other day. Now I forgot her last name. Doesn't really matter.
Doesn't matter.
And I have to say, when I first started at the park, was still at the tail end of that late 90s kind of letting everything go. Yeah, and it was interesting to see that once after I left is when, you know, Matt Wimay came in and they started, you know, really focusing on getting things back to the way that they had the standards that they had been. We're kind of an international kick, aren't we?
We'll get to drinking around the world soon enough, so...
Someone about that the other day. It makes me happy. Anyways, yeah.
But no, I mean, I think that the park condition... I mean, they have more guests than they've ever had.
I think.
Spending more money than they've ever had.
Charging more money than they ever have.
And you know, now they've apparently got enough they can redo. I miss the California letters. I'm okay with the rest of the remodel of DC. I mean, I miss the giant sun and the waves and all that, but really the letters are,
they just, all they got to do is bring the A's back, because that's the only joke potential, really.
Yeah,
giant a-holes.
Yeah, but you know,
there's three giant a-holes today.
I just bet John Stamos is pissed because I just bought the other sign letters. Do I have to go buy those now? Come on.
Hey, I don't think his wife's going to make him get rid of these ones, though.
Well, they're not together in it.
Right.
Right. Yep. So, yeah.
There you go.
So.
There was a joke it's probably still there, but we all know that there's a joke, you know, enjoy the rest of your stay here at this magical place. So, yeah. Mystical magic place, you know, we like to call work, where all of your dreams come true. And when I first started, I believe... Where all of your dreams can come true for just $39 plus parking.
Yes.
And over the course of 4 years, every year we'd have to readjust the joke every year.
Well, it's joke inflation.
Here's the thing is that...
I blame Obama.
I was a kid, and I remember the $29 Disney specials, okay. I worked at Disney when I was 20. I remember saying $41 plus parking, okay. Flash forward, this is 10 years later, and it's doubled in price since then. Yeah, it's up to $86 for, good God, man, that's a lot of money.
It is. Yeah. And that's the reason why we're having a recession is Disney pricing.
Probably.
We have determined that...
I blame Michael Eisner.
Yeah, I actually... And notice that I'm a very big proponent of the magic.
Yeah, I wanted to push him in.
Yeah, I'm not soured on Disney. I still, you know, really, really feel that kinship to the park. And, you know, if I hit the lottery tomorrow and never had to worry about money, I would probably go back and work again because I love the time that I had there.
I'd drive the steam trains in a heartbeat. I'd change my name if I had to and become something else, but...
Would you change your gender? What?
No.
Maybe put on these culottes, Hames.
I'd darken my skin and
going back to your first question of, you know, how do we end up working in the Orange Grove, right? We do that a lot though.
Yes.
That's a problem with this particular pairing is that there's a lot of tangents to be had.
Yes.
But I had just read. That's what I'm looking for. I had just finished reading the David Koenig books. Wrote about some of the people that we worked with. But I just finished reading the David Koenig books and the Second Mouse Tales series. And in the Second Mouse Tales series, there's this entire chapter about Jungle Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
And so in reading that and having grown up kind of as a... I was explaining to people as kind of a byproduct of watching too much Johnny Carson and Bob Hope as a child.
Who?
Exactly.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, right.
I know who they are. Ayo! I promise.
having you know, grow up with that kind of humor, and so the Jungle Cruise to me was always one of my favorite attractions in the park, and so it had always been kind of this pipe dream of mine to work there. And after reading the Mouse Tales books, and I said, there's no way that it can actually be like that. And when I got there, there's very few things in life that I say you can go into and have it meet your expectations. And for me, that was working on Jungle Cruise and having read some of these stories about what you can do and sort of the I don't want to say leniency because the Disney lawyers are listening, but some of them, just...
We've addressed before. I mean, there are cycles with OG caretaking that there are times where the skippers are good caretakers of the OG and they respect it and they bend it a little bit to make it enjoyable for the guests, and that's the prime purpose.
Right.
And then there are times where people get out of control for a year or two and they tighten back up, and I think that's the natural state of things. You know, that you can't, I mean, we've had this discussion as well. Jungle's not the kind of ride where you can stick a robot at the front of the boat and have a pre-recorded spiel and just have a person driving the boat and have it be recorded. There has to be that level of interaction for that magic to happen.
Although one of my favorite spiels involves someone doing exactly that. It was the pre-recorded, in quotations.
That was actually pretty fun for us.
Spiels, yeah. If you just flip the tape on. And for your kids listening out there, tape was what we had before CDs.
That's true.
I mean, MP3 really players.
CDs are good too. But that brings up a good point, because many of the things that we did on Jungle Cruise was to entertain ourselves. And that is how we made it through our 8-hour day. Because yes, we were there to entertain you, but only as a byproduct that we had a good time as well.
I mean, my trainer, when you train and you go out there, I mean, one of the first things that my trainer explained to me was the OG is there, but you're free to embellish on it and you're free to make it your own as long as you don't, and hers is her words, really offend someone. And so we did, and I think in
yes, you did really offend quite a few people. Okay.
Not me. There were people there who pushed it far worse than I did. And we can talk about some of that later, but I just, you know, we didn't really offend anyone and we made it our own. And I think in this group sitting here and this time that we were all working together was a time where we really felt free to make each spiel and each character, can I say, each, you know, skipper's own spiel, his or her own. And I think that's when we were winning attraction of the year every year. And
yeah,
we were
getting, every you know, single
we
would, year.
We were in the Disneyland line every 6 months for having the most guest compliments.
And it's so funny that I have seen, you know, skippers now who on various social media sites are, I got a guest compliment. That's amazing. And it's, for me, there's this kind of sadness because it was...
I got my 20th guest compliment. You know?
Yeah, it was almost a weekly thing for us to get called up in the office.
Now, to be fair, do you guys remember the book?
The book of
the
all...
The guest compliment book.
Yep. Yeah.
That was at the...
At Jungle.
At Jungle Cruise.
Yeah, we had the signatures in and we turned them in.
Yeah, we had the signatures in, but what we didn't explain so much was that if we heard someone getting off the ride and said, wow, I really enjoyed the Jungle Cruise. That was guest compliment.
That's a compliment.
You know... And there was
we were proactive.
But as I said, the worst guest compliment ever was, I've never heard those jokes before ever. I ride the ride 40 times a week. Ding, Kyle to the office.
True.
Please come upstairs.
That was the worst. You never wanted to get that. That was the worst call you could get. Was the lead hanging up the phone and turning to you and say.
Upstairs.
They want to see you in the West Side office, which was immediately followed by, am I coming back?
Yep.
So now, Christian, you knew, Chris Ramirez, you knew Indy, and you knew Jungle.
And I knew the Haunted Mansion ride, and I knew the Treehouse when that was a rotation.
Now, we're going to be doing an entire episode on Disney ghost stories. So I'll ask you, since you're sitting here, did you ever experience the hauntedness of the Haunted Mansion? Because there's a lot of people I know who work there, even to the day, who have issues with the unload ghosts.
Yes, the unload ghosts is something that I think everybody experiences every once in a while. If not really truly experiences it, you believe that you experience it.
Yeah.
I
think that you psych yourself up for it a little bit.
You do. And I've been walking the attraction at night, you know, with jerk cast members on the PA. So, I mean, it can get... Is it really haunted? Is it not? You know.
But there's a couple others. There's the kid in Critter Country, Timmy.
I haven't heard a lot of these.
Yeah, and I'm trying to... I have a friend who's a current conductor who was going through when... hi, Kimberly. As there's a rehab going on in Splash Mountain and all of Critter Country was closed. I want to say it was... couple years ago, and she was going through and she saw this little boy in a blue shirt and yellow cap or vice versa in all of the secure area, and she called it in, and her lead bay said, "Oh, that's Timmy, that's the ghost from." So there's a couple.
The one that I do have experience with, not in Magic, but I also
Interventions
is Sharon. the Debbie.
Debbie, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Debbie. The ghost of Debbie, and the ghost of Debbie was a very, you know, whether or not you believe in that kind of stuff, to us it was a very real thing.
Yeah, and just to catch everyone up, Debbie was a America Sings cast member who, and I don't remember if she fell asleep on the job, whatever it was.
She was trying to cross, and the way that America Sings worked, it was this rotating.
It was Interventions is currently with the rotating building.
And so they would, to get to their next position, they would go between these giant rotating walls.
They have it in Florida still, but yeah, it's a room and it moves really quickly, a giant room with 120 people that rotates through 90 degrees every 10 minutes, right? To go to a new show scene.
And so basically what happened is that in trying to go from one position to the other, she got caught or she slipped or she tripped or something, and she got basically caught between these 20-year-old ghosts, got caught between these two walls and crushed in...
Was bifurcated.
America Sings, yeah. So ever since then, there's been this talk of... And her name was, of course, Debbie. And so ever since then, at Interventions, there's always been this talk of Debbie's ghost, and anytime someone goes wrong, we sort of blame Debbie. And there's definitely... To me, there's definitely a presence. There's a tunnel underneath the attraction. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely you feel something down there. Now, whether it's me psyching myself out or not, that's a different story. But it's...
See, and I have the firsthand experience with Debbie, because we were in the tunnel. There was a folding table that was set up down there as a break area. There a couple of chairs. It was just kind of a hangout. And I was visiting a friend who was a cast member there. And
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, and someone made a comment that they didn't believe in Debbie, and they thought it was total crap. And he reached for a can of Coke, and the can slid away from his hand the other direction of the table, like up the table, moved a good 3 feet with nothing that could possibly have moved it. And that was when I promptly left, as quickly as my little feet could carry me. But that's one of the ones I know. There's a couple others.
There's one about Walt's ghost in the tiki room.
Yeah, I never ran into the
cigar smell. There's a cigar smell in the tiki room that comes out every once in a while. That was told to me when I first. I had never experienced it.
That could have been the ghost of the Casa de Fritos as well.
They could have been,
because who didn't love the Frito kid? But no, I think that there... I mean,
thousands of unsuspecting tourists. That's who didn't love the Frito kid.
Well, and I like how you put the coin in and the warm, toasty bag of Fritos would drop out from the mine shaft, from Frito's mine shaft.
That's right.
So, but there... And it's... There's... Yeah. So, no, I think that there are definitely supernaturalists. There's the video online of the ghost that goes through from one security camera to the other. Nighttime, there's a video on YouTube. I think that one got debunked, though. I think they actually went through and figured out that there was a reflector on the security camera that was casting a shadow. I think that one got debunked. But I think...
For anyone who ever worked on Indie and saw the video cameras in the tower, you'd think that everybody on those things was a ghost. Man, the old ones, before you guys got the fancy color ones.
Yep. Before we invented color in our day.
we saw black and white TVs back in Disneyland when I worked there.
Chris doesn't say much, but every time he has so far, he just comes out sounding like this angry old curmudgeon.
Oh, man, I know. I've been told that a lot more recently.
You kids in your fancy color TV when I was your age.
You kids in your crazy dog solving mysteries.
Of course, I do have a lot of complaints about that, but that's...
And then I would have made it. I would have gotten away with it, too. That'd been for you, pesky
meddling kids.
Oh, Jared.
Oh, well.
Oh, yeah.
So as we...
Tear.
Yeah, and I think that's, as we hit kind of our halfway point, that's a good point to wrap up for the first half of our joyous escapade, and we'll be back next week with the other half.
All right, that's it. Episode 6, Tales from the Jungle Cruise, The Chris Stravaganza. Join us in a week or so for the second half, and we look forward to seeing you guys in the internet adventure land that's out there on Facebook, Twitter, all that fun stuff. So take care, everybody, and Kungaloosh.